Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. I've had such a blast exploring the natural world with you this season of Constant Wonder Kids. Can you think of your favorite episode? Maybe you love traveling over Great Britain with Mike Dilger trying to find 1,000 different plants. Or maybe you liked hearing Cy Montgomery talk about how she helped turtles. I know I won't ever forget how Kartik Satyanarayan went undercover to rescue sloth bears in India. Each episode has focused on stories of awe and wonder in the natural world, and today we have one more for you. We started our season off with Jonathan Waterman exploring the Arctic, and today we're going to travel to the opposite side of the world, where our guest is waiting for us in an icy, frozen hut.
When you arrive at camp, actually, you can't get in because it's snowed in. So the first thing you have to do is dig the snow out of the door openings. And I remember walking in and being like, there's no way we're going to live here. Like, this is tiny and this is not like a human home.
This is Naira de Gracia. She's a field biologist and has spent months working in a little cold hut in Antarctica. Antarctica is a huge icy place at the South Pole of the world. There are very few humans who live in Antarctica, and those who do are there for scientific reasons, just like Naira. She lives in Antarctica to do field work, science that you can only do when you're out in the wild.
Field work is so much more than a job because it engulfs your whole life. It's your entire lifestyle.
In Antarctica, field work often looks like studying the animals that are tough enough to survive in such a cold place. What sort of animals do you think live in Antarctica? Any guesses? If you thought of penguins, you got it. There are millions of penguins that live in Antarctica, and Naira was there to study two types in particular, the chinstrap penguin and the gentoo penguin. These penguins are pretty fascinating and have all sorts of interesting habits. For instance, did you know that gentoo penguins are obsessed with pebbles? They use them to build their nests. And while that might seem weird or uncomfortable, the spaces between the rocks help the nest to drain water so that the snow doesn't flood the eggs out. They use feathers for padding.
Pebbles are the currency of penguin colonies, basically, at least early season. Once the penguins have a pair or a mate, they set about building their nests and they try to find the perfect pebble for their nests. And the perfect pebble is maybe the size of like a nut. And they would dig it out of these muddy puddles because the ones that were on the surface had already been taken long ago. And they would sort of lean down and put their flippers behind them for balance and stick their face really close to the ground and kind of turn their head so their eye could be right above these puddles. And then they would stick their bill in, grab a pebble and waddle over to their nest, really proud about it. Present it to their mate. They would do this very ceremonial bow to place the pebble on the edge of the nest, and they would be very specific about where on the nest they would be placing this pebble. It would have to be exactly at that spot. And they would do this little croon to their mate, and then them and their mate would croon to each other, just validating the existence of this pebble and its union into their holy nest. And then the mate would look at the pebble and inevitably, this always used to happen, pick up the pebble where it was placed and move it to a spot that they deemed was slightly better. And that happened hundreds of times until the nest was built, basically.
These penguins seem almost like people with how particular they are about arranging their nests. Another silly thing that Naira noticed about the penguins is the way that they fight with each other.
Chinstraps and gentoos, the way they fight with each other is by slapping each other. And to them, because they don't really have any terrestrial predators, to them we were just very large penguins. So when they were displeased with our presence, they would also slap us.
What? The penguins would slap the humans?
Chinstrap penguins are a little more belligerent and a little more quick to slap. Gentoos are a little mellower. Anytime you walk through the colony, you get a few slaps if you get too close to anybody. One time someone told me a story of a chinstrap that he saw that had accidentally collided into a rock and had been really displeased about it and just slapped the rock. Because they just slap anything that they don't like. That like displeases them. That's like their universal solution.
These slap happy penguins are so silly. Nyra had to brave penguin slaps the most whenever she and her fellow scientists had to band the penguins. That means that they would take colorful plastic bands and put them on the penguins' legs to help keep track of different penguins throughout the years.
We'd have to pick them up to band them, and then we'd put them down, and we usually get slapped. There were some that were a little grumpier about the experience than others. I do remember that one on the highest colony, on Ridge 29. I put it down, and it just stood on my boot and slapped my calf over and over again, just because it really did not enjoy the experience. Which is fair.
Nyra was part of the penguin crew, so it was part of her job to band grumpy penguins. She would also help to band the other animal that she often interacted with in Antarctica, the fur seal.
Capturing seals, unlike capturing penguins, is a whole complicated operation that requires everybody. The lead seal researcher identifies the female that needs to be captured, and then we kind of formulate a game plan based on where she is, how many bulls are around.
When fur seals have babies, also called pups, the females stay near the pups and the bulls, or the male seals, hover around. These bulls are often territorial or aggressive to anyone who comes near their female seals and pups.
So we would arrive in and see who the territorial bull was, and there would be one person that would snag the pup with this really long bamboo pole with a little noose. They would wrap it around the pup's body, and then they would kind of pull it along the beach. And the female would see their pup like shooting away from them, and she would kind of bound after the pup away from the territorial male. The penguin crew would be stationed nearby behind rocks, and we would leap up with these giant bamboo poles and just like jab at the territorial males to dissuade them from chasing after the female. Meanwhile, this other seal technician jumps up with this giant net, and they're running after the female, who's still sprinting after the pup. Everyone's running at this point, and flings the net over the female.
Can you imagine this crazy scene? One person is dragging the seal pup, the mama seal is chasing the baby seal, and other scientists are fending off the bull seals. Once the female seal is in the net, she's given drugs to make her fall asleep so that the scientists can put a device on her that tracks how far she swims and also takes some DNA samples.
So while the fur seal team is conducting their capture on little fur seal pup mothers, I had to basically spend time with their little pups. It is so pure. These little squirmy puppies that had just emerged to the world maybe 7 hours before, and they don't know anything. They know the call of their mother. They have the instinct to suckle, but they don't know what the world is. They don't even know what their own flippers are. They were always slapping themselves with their flippers and kind of flopping around. And I just remember sitting on the beach with this tiny little seal, and it was just flopping around on the beach and kind of trying to bite us, but they don't really have teeth. Well, they have really tiny teeth at the beginning. And then it just wore itself out and put its little head on my thigh and just passed out and was just sleeping there. And it was so warm, and I took a little sniff, and it kind of smelled like a little musky and a little salty. It was a really sweet moment.
After the SEAL team was done taking care of the pup's mother, the two were reunited and happily returned to the rest of the seals. This type of seal interaction is pretty cute and cuddly, but there were other times when Nyra encountered angry seals.
The penguin technicians, we have to cross a few beaches where seals are to get to our penguin colonies. So I was crossing this beach, and this fur seal female had begun chasing me in the colonies, and I poked her with my ski pole, and I couldn't get her away, and she like lunged at my pants and made this hole in my pants, and I just got spooked. And you're not really supposed to run from them, it doesn't really help, but I think my fight or flight impulses kicked in, and I was like, I need to get away from the seal.
When Nyra ran away from the seal, she went straight to a place where she knew she could get protection, the Chinstrap penguin colony.
I ran into the chinstrap colonies because I knew that chinstraps are like very fierce warriors and they'll slap anything that gets in there. So I was hiding in the chinstrap colonies where the seal didn't want to come. And she left me alone eventually.
I guess those slap-happy penguins ended up coming in handy after all. A majority of the time, Nyra was able to observe penguins on land, where they sat on their nests and hatched their eggs. But one day, Nyra got the exciting opportunity to use technology to take a peek at what penguins were doing when they weren't on land. The scientists were able to attach a camera to a penguin to see the world through the penguin's eyes. After they took the camera off, they were so excited to see what the penguin cam had captured.
We took the camera to main hut, and the first thing we see is the ocean and her swimming. And from the camera view, you can see her weaving through the water and other penguins around her. You not only could see her perspective, but you could see what it would look like for her to swim because you were seeing other penguins swimming alongside her. And we didn't actually know that penguins foraged together, that chinchilla foraged together. She would come up to the surface of the water to breathe, and you would see the surface of the ocean and this cloudy sky. And it was just such a cool experience to finally have this little piece of what the rest of the penguin's reality is that we never got to access and we never got to see or experience.
Having this view into a penguin's experience was really special for Naira, and she felt a lot of wonder as she thought about living on Earth with creatures like penguins and seals.
Wonder helps me forget all the human parts of what I am and helps me reconnect with this inherent aliveness on this planet in general, because this is where life exists and this is where we evolved, and doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
Naira's experiences being up close and personal with penguins and seals in Antarctica help us remember that we are all connected, plants, animals, and humans. When you take time to learn about and spend time in the natural world, you are able to feel more and more wonder about everything you see around you. How amazing is that? Thanks so much for joining us for Season 2, Wonder Kids. We'll talk to you next week for the start of Season 3. Antarctica is the place to see wild penguins roaming free. You'll find baby seals and a slap or two as part of a chilly penguin crew.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of Constant Wonder, the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids just love. But you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Naira de Gracia and her work with penguins and other animals in Antarctica. If you'd like to hear the full presentation, find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is titled Finding a Personal Place in the Wild World. I actually have an inkling that you're going to have an interest in much more than just a single episode of Constant Wonder. Who doesn't value and want to nourish and enlarge our sense of wonder in the world? Be sure to subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.